here's a story from The World.
Modern Iraq, as it's defined by its current borders, is not that old, only dating back to the early 20th century and the end of the Ottoman Empire. The cultural identities and religious beliefs there go back much further. Take the area of northern Iraq. It's been a religiously diverse region for centuries. Earlier this week, we heard about the tension between two minority communities living in a historically Christian town there. Today, Rebecca Collard has a story of the Jews that once lived in the Iraqi city of Mosul and a new effort to preserve their memory.
Look at this house. Wow.
In the rubble of Mosul's old city, there are signs of a forgotten past. In the concrete doorways of the houses here, I notice the imprints of mezuzahs, the small parchment scrolls fixed to the entrances of Jewish homes around the world.
Like this. Look, yes.
This one.
Oh, yeah, there it's much more obvious.
This neighborhood used to be called Mahalat el-Yahud, the place of the Jews. Today, much of it is in ruins. ISIS controlled the city of Mosul for 3 years. The militants' goal was to replace multi-religious Iraq with a Sunni Muslim caliphate. But Mosul's Jews were gone long before that. Most left in the 1950s, ending millennia of Jewish presence here. Now, as Mosul rebuilds, Mohammed Omar is trying to preserve the city's Jewish heritage.
They are people who deserve to be recognized as equal citizens of Mosul as anyone else.
Mohammed may seem like an unlikely candidate to lead the effort. He's best known for creating Mosul Eye, where he secretly published news during ISIS's occupation. Before that, he was a history lecturer at Mosul University. After the city was liberated from ISIS, his colleagues found something surprising.
Some of the houses that were demolished, in the structure of the walls, we found stones with Hebrew inscriptions in the walls.
And that raised questions for Mohammed.
Why I don't know who are the Jews who lived in Mosul. I know, I am aware that there is something called the Jewish neighborhood in Mosul. But where are they? What happened to them? Who are they? Who were they? What they were doing in the city?
Mohammed says the city's Jews have been virtually erased from the history books. So he set out to find them.
Thank you, everyone, and especially to Sally.
In October, Omar Mohammed organized a virtual meeting. It brought together Jews from Mosul living around the world and their descendants. They spoke Arabic, English, and Hebrew.
Ustad Maurice, ahlan wa sahlan.
In the past, Jews in Iraq were government ministers, businessmen, and some of the country's most popular musicians. What pushed them to leave is debated, even among the Iraqi Jews on the call.
They left by choice.
If you make the atmosphere so oppressive that you have no chance to live there, you're forced to leave. That doesn't mean by choice.
That's correct.
As far as I'm concerned, the Jews were expelled.
With the creation of the State of Israel in 1948 and the rise in anti-Jewish violence, most of Iraq's Jewish population fled the country. That meant leaving the land of their ancestors. Mohammed's plan is to create a virtual museum with interviews with those who fled and photos from the once vibrant Jewish community of Mosul. He says he hopes in the future he will be able to set up a physical museum in the city.
And then it will become a widely public space for the people to know that when you look at Mosul, you know that the Jewish history is an essential part of it.
There was never a perfect coexistence in Iraq, but Mohammed says the real problem started a century ago when the British carved out an Iraqi state with borders that were irrelevant to the people who lived there.
Religious diversity in Iraq was heavily damaged after the 1920s. It created the confusion. The people started forgetting about what their identity is.
Mohammed says the newly imagined Iraqi nationality didn't match the historical or cultural realities. And he says that's still causing problems today.
Until now, you don't understand what the national identity of Iraq is. And no government was able to clearly define what the national identity is.
Back in Mosul's old Jewish quarter, it's difficult to find residents old enough to remember living side by side with Jewish neighbors. But I meet Abdul Karim Salah, who's in his 60s.
My friend at the school, Joseph, was Jewish. He became Muslim.
Salah says some of the Jews here converted to Islam so they could stay. He blames the national Iraqi government for stoking tensions between religious communities here.
They meet hate between Muslim and Jewish, and they succeed.
He leads me through winding, narrow alleyways, pointing out homes that used to belong to Jewish families.
All this area, I told you, belonged to the Jews.
Eventually, we come to a dead end with a rusting metal door.
And this is their temple.
This is their temple?
Yeah. This is the door from here.
The door is barred shut, but the neighbors let us climb to their roof to look inside.
This way or up?
From here, we can see into an ornate synagogue with richly colored wall tiles, high arches, and thick columns. There isn't much left of the synagogue's roof, and it looks a bit like it's now being used as a garbage dump. The physical scale of the damage to Mosul's Jewish history feels impossible to repair, and there are still whole swaths of the city to restore for the communities that still live here. But Salah says his Jewish neighbors would be welcome back.
This is their home. This is their temple. We have no right to prevent them.
There's a story about the late Salima Pasha, a famous Iraqi Jewish singer in the 1950s. It's difficult to confirm, but even the story's existence tells of a different time for Iraq's religious minorities. My Iraqi friend tells me that two other prominent Jewish Iraqi musicians were leaving for Israel, and they tried to convince her to join them.
So they went, they visited Salima Pasha, and they told her, hey, we're leaving, you should leave with us as well. And her reply was, this is my homeland. My people are over here.
Pasha converted to Islam and stayed. Amid the rubble of their neighborhood, I try to imagine Mosul's once vibrant Jewish community. How people would have sat here in their homes, listening to the songs of Pasha, with the feeling that this was their homeland. For The World, I'm Rebecca Collard, Mosul.
Rebecca's report is part of our series Sacred Nation, stories about religion and nationalism around the globe. It's funded by the Henry Luce Foundation. Check out more of the series at theworld.org/sacrednation.